Genesis 1, 14 through 18. Then God said, "But lights appear in the sky to separate the day from night. Let them mark off the seasons, days, and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth," and that is what happened. God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and the night, to separate the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good.
And now, would anybody like to give a testimony about your trip to Resurrection? Don't everybody run at once. Anybody? Got a mic.
I would just like to say thank you for letting us go on this trip, and thank you being there for supporting us through all of this.
Anybody else?
I just want to say thank y'all, because it's always such a great bonding experience for all of us as a youth to come together, and it was great, as always, and it's always really fun the 2 years I've been, and Hannah went for her first year this year. She loved it.
Anybody else? No? You want to say something, Zach? No? Well, I don't know about you, but if that music didn't light your spiritual fire, your wood's wet. I hadn't planned on getting misty, but got misty through that. And this is my testimony, and my testimony really didn't come at Resurrection. It didn't come at the sessions. The sessions were great. Resurrection's always an exciting time. It's a fulfilling time for the kids. It's a spiritual time, but it's also an exhausting time for those adults that go, correct? Would you say we got tired? But my testimony comes from something that happened at the cabin on Saturday night. The day for me and Tony began at 6 o'clock on Friday, and from that moment on, it didn't end until we got back at the house Sunday evening. And it was just rush, rush, do-do, rush, rush. You know, we had so much to do, and most of my time was either spent at the sessions or in the kitchen. And it was go to a session, eat, clean up, go to a session. Eat, clean up, go to a session. And this was just the vicious cycle that went the whole weekend. So I spent the most of the time in the kitchen. And when Saturday time came for free time, I didn't go back into town. My legs were killing me, my foot was hurting. And so I decided I would opt and stay at the cabin and stay in the kitchen and get it cleaned up from lunch and get supper prepared and start packing us up. The kids were supposed to come back at 5 o'clock that evening, and from the time they left until they got back, I had a 15-minute window, so it was 15 till 5, and I go in and I sit down, and I just sink into this chair, and I look at the clock and I say, wow, I've got 15 minutes, and then the door busts open. And in they come, screaming and yelling. This group is never on time, let alone are we ever early. And they were early that day, so it was back in the kitchen, getting them fed again to get down to the session. And then when we came in Saturday night, and of course by that time they were wanting a snack, and they're wanting, some of them had skipped supper because they weren't hungry, so they wanted a full-blown meal at midnight. So here we are Saturday night. It's really late. It's getting late. The kids are off doing their thing, and I'm in the kitchen, and busying myself. And then I get this tap on my shoulder. And I turn around, and it's Veronica. And she says to me, she says, "I will get this. You go sit down." And I'm like, well, thank you, no, but I'm okay. I got this. And I'm busying myself again. And then a few minutes later, I get... And I turn around, and it's Veronica, and she says, "You go sit. I've got this." And I'm like, no, it's okay. I'm fine. I'm perfectly fine. And I busy myself again, and then I get, Okay. So I turn around and I look at Veronica, and I'm not sure if she had one hip on her shoulder or two, but I'm pretty sure one eyeball was higher than the other one and one eye was bigger. And she said to me, "You go sit." And I'm like, I'm going to go sit down. So I go into the living room. I'm the only person there. Everybody, the kids are all throughout the cabin, and there's a beautiful fireplace, and you can just like reach over and turn a dial, bam, you've got fire. Mr. Castle, where are you? Are you here? It beats gathering wood, I'm here to tell you. So I crank that sucker up for about 45 minutes, and I go over and I sink into my chair, and at that moment, I realize that everything on me is hurting. My shoulders, my arms, my hips, my knees, and my left foot is killing me at this point. So I reach over, get a pillow, put it on the coffee table, put my feet up, take off my shoes, grab the iPad, start scrolling through the internet, and it's so quiet at that moment, and I look over and there's this beautiful fireplace, the stonework's amazing, cathedral ceilings, lights are dim, and I think, I'm going to snap that. So how many of you know what snap is? The young people know. So what snapping is you, and I told Gina and George and Jamie and Betty Robinette I was going to give them a tutorial. So what snapping is it's a new thing for the kids. You take a picture, and then at the bottom of the picture, you have the opportunity to write a one-line sentence. And then you look at the picture, and in 10 seconds it's gone, and it's never to be seen or heard from again. And the kids love to communicate this way. Now, they sent me a snap this morning, just so they could show you. And this is my, you can send these back and forth within your chat family, and right here is my chat family. And you press the screen and you hold it, and it says, "Higher Ground Girls." And then it only lasts for like a few seconds, and then it disappears and it's gone forever. And they sent me another one. This is Mom talking to the church, sneaky little boogers. And then you get to watch this message for just a few minutes, and then boom, it's gone. So I was sitting there looking through the internet, and then I thought, well, you know, I'm going to snap that fireplace. So I take a picture of the fireplace, and at the bottom of the fireplace, or the bottom of the picture, I write, "One of my favorite things." And then I snap it to the kids who are right there in the cabin. They're off playing, or they're getting ready for bed, or whatever. And as I'm sitting there looking at the thing, I realize I get a snap. And I think, get a snap. So I push the button, and it's a picture of me. And let me tell you, at this point, I am a hot mess. I look like I've slept in my clothes. My hair is sticking up all over the place. And really and truly, this is what I look like. And the first thing I thought when I saw that picture was, oh, Lord. This is horrible. And then my eyes fall to the bottom of the screen, and I realize it's from Heather. And at the bottom of the screen, the one line says, "One of my favorite things." And suddenly I felt okay. And suddenly all the hard work was worth it. And nothing didn't hurt quite so much anymore. It's the little things like that that keep us going, that keep us fighting through the pain, and that make it all worthwhile. It's the you go sits, and it's the my favorite things that keep us going. And Veronica, since you started going on these trips, I can't imagine going without you. This morning at 8:30, and I wasn't going to add this, it's not in my notes, but I received a text from Diana at 8:30. And she said, good luck this morning. I love you, and you're going to be fine. So it's those little things that mean the most. The smallest things can make the biggest difference. A kind word of encouragement, a compliment, a smile. And as Christians, we need that kind of encouragement because we don't have it all together. And some of us wouldn't want to admit that, but some of us don't have it all together, me included. If we haven't complimented someone or said something nice to someone within this building in the last 24 hours, I think we're truly missing that one last command that Jesus gave us. And that was, at the Last Supper, he talked to the disciples and he said, this last commandment, this new commandment I give you, to love one another as you love yours, to love each other as I have loved you. And the kids and I recently did a study by Andy Stanley called Christian. It's a good study. And Andy said, what if people were standing on the brim of your church and looking in? Excuse me, what would they say? They might say things like, look at those people. They're so different. They're so weird. And they might even say, look at those Jesus freaks. But then as they're standing there on the brim of our church and on further observation, they might say, you know what? They might be a little weird, but look how they love. Look at how the husbands treat their wives. And look at how the kids respond to their parents. And look at the family unit and how they get along together and how much they love each other. And look at how they love one another. We should want there to be so much love in this church that people just driving by on Church Street and Spring Street can't help but feel the love exuding from this building. And sometimes it just takes a small, random act of kindness. It's the little things. It's the you go sits. And it's the one of my favorite things that build us up and keep us going. And those two random acts of kindness were what I took away from resurrection. And that is my testimony. Now, that ain't the message, so hold on, we're going to run over. Robert brought it up to me Thursday night that he had noticed on Facebook that it was National Scout Sunday today, and we would be remiss if we didn't recognize our little Cub Scouts. So would the Cub Scouts come forward just for a quick moment? These are just the Cub Scouts that attend church here. The pack's much larger, but since it was such short notice, the pack couldn't be here, so I think we're going to plan to do something in a couple weeks with them, something much bigger. But we got Braden, Thomas, and James here this morning. And they've got all kinds of stuff hanging off of their shirts, and they're earning so many things. Let's give them a big hand. Aren't they adorable? We are so fortunate to have scouting within our church. If you're not involved in scouting, it's not just that we charter scouts. I would encourage you to get involved because you have something to share, especially the men of this congregation. All of you have a talent, and they have a pack meeting once a month, once a year. Get together with those kids and share some of your talents and your interests. They love that stuff. So how many men in our congregation have been involved in scouting at any level, at any point in your life? Stand up. See? You know what a great program it is. Now, if you're an Eagle Scout, remain standing. Awesome! I know the road you took to get there because I helped my son get there, and it wasn't an easy thing. You can go sit down now, guys, for just a quick moment. And I do these roundabout surveys within the kids all the time, and they don't even know they're happening. You know, I ask little questions, I throw them out there, and then they give little answers, and they have no idea I'm taking notes. But one of the things that they have repeatedly said that they miss during this service is the meet and greet. So at this time, we're going to stand up, tell the person beside us, "I'm so glad you're here," and shake that person's hand. So let's stand up. Reggie has these things called Reggie-isms. You did it.
Who's mom?
You did it. It was awesome. All right. Reggie has these things called Reggie-isms, and one of the things he did 3 years ago when we went was, "I can, you can, we can, I got your back." And this year his Reggie-ism was, "Look at your neighbor to this side and go, all right, all right, all right." Great, see, it's easy. Look at your neighbor on this side and say, all right, all right, all right. Reggie is an awesome speaker. He's an amazing man of God, and he uses the gift that God gave him to lead young people to Christ. And I can't even begin to imagine how many people that God has used this man to bring them into his kingdom. Mrs. Wingert was just telling me before the service that they let their church know that this resurrection, there was more people saved than ever at their 30-year anniversary, which is awesome. And this year, one of our own accepted Christ, and that was Libby. Amen? But I want to talk about another amazing speaker this morning. I want to talk about a guy named Louis Giglio. And how many of you have ever heard Louis speak? He's another amazing speaker. And he shared something with us one time that I shared with the Beyond kids in the older group. So some of them will have heard most of this before. But it just changed the way I think about myself and the way I perceive the greatness of God. And it made me realize what a true miracle I really am. Now, Louis' message was 40 minutes long. But I promise, we're only going to hit the high spots. We serve a bigger God than anything we can imagine. We serve a huge, massive God of grace. And I hope that when you leave here today, that your view of God has expanded, and that you will leave here with the confidence that He is able to hold on to us and hold us together, no matter what circumstances come to our way in our lifetime. Okay, in reference to our scripture reading, the Bible tells us in Genesis, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth, and He said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." And that was an incredible moment. Light came out of the mouth of God. The God we just sang to is enormous. He's huge. He's big. He's bigger than anything we can imagine. He's bigger than our wildest imaginations. The Hubble telescope takes some pretty great pictures of our universe and the galaxies within our universe. But we take pictures, too, here of God's greatness here on Earth. And we are really blown away by some of the things. And there are some pictures up here that Daniel's going to run through for us. And we look at these pictures and we say, wow, how great is our God, the creator of that. Okay, He paints skies with the wave of His hand, and He gives us majestic mountains and beautiful snowfall. And He creates canyons with the tip of His finger. And we think, wow, how great is our God. How big is our God. But the Hubble telescope takes this "how great is our God" to a whole new level. Louis talks about several different topics in his message, but this morning we're only going to talk about four stars and you. And we're going to talk about the greatness of God and the grandeur of God. Okay, we have one star in our solar system, and that star is called the Sun. Very good. See, we're on our way here. And here's an image of the Sun. Okay, it's much more fierce than we think. It's 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit on the surface. But we want to talk about its greatness. It's 93 million miles away, and it takes 8 minutes for the light from the sun and the warmth of the sun to reach your body, and you can feel it here in Wytheville. And another thing I want you to understand is about this size. It's a million times the size of the earth, like we said, and the Psalms 33:6 tells us, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the mere word of the Lord, the heavens were made. In other words, God didn't lift a finger. And the psalmist goes on to tell us that the starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. We don't want to get any closer than 93 million miles to the sun, and God just breathed out the stars. Okay, here's a demonstration that Louis used. Where's my golf ball? Okay, now for the rest of the service, this golf ball is going to represent Earth. And this is where I need you to use your imagination just a little bit. I need you to find yourself on this golf ball. And when you have found yourself on this golf ball, nod your head. You got yourself? Okay, so we've all found ourselves, right? So if the earth were a golf ball, the sun would be 15 feet in diameter. And here's just a demonstration really quickly. James and Thomas, come quickly. Here's a demonstration to kind of give you an idea of just how small the earth is and how big the sun is. Stretch this out. Stand right there. Don't move too far. Don't go behind the piano. Come here. Fishing you in. Okay. This, if the earth were a golf ball, the sun would be 15 feet in diameter. And this is the expanse of the sun. And this is the earth. And somewhere, you're on it. Okay? Big stuff, huh? Okay, if the earth were a golf ball, okay, dudes, that's good. Here, give this to Zach. He didn't wear a belt this morning. If the earth were a golf ball, that's enough golf balls to fill a school bus. It's a massive star, and it's one of hundreds of billions of stars in the Milky Way galaxy. And by the way, the Milky Way galaxy is our neighborhood. And the Milky Way galaxy, like I said, is one of 1 billion galaxies in the universe. We are worshiping a star-breathing God. Now, the next star I want to talk about, and Louis said this second star changed his life, and I have to say it changed mine too. It's called Betelgeuse, or Betelgeuse is its nickname, and Betelgeuse is incredible. And here's a picture of it. See that star up there, that gold star? That's Betelgeuse. Okay, and you can see it if you look up into our night sky. It's 427 light years away. Now, it's not that far, right? But do you know how fast you can travel in a light year? You know, how fast is time travel? You can travel 5.88 miles per second. And if you were traveling 5.88 miles per second, it would take you 33 years to reach Betelgeuse. And here's the crazy thing about Betelgeuse. It's twice the size. You think I'm going to say the Earth, right? Or the Sun. But it's not. It is twice the size of the Earth's orbit around the Sun. That's crazy big. If the Earth were a golf ball, Betelgeuse would be the height of 6 Empire State Buildings, one stacked on top of the other. Have you guys seen the Empire State Building? You have? You've been there? Cool. For those of you who haven't been, the Empire State Building is 1,454 feet tall. Now, in order to grasp this, some of you are probably going to have to buy a plane ticket. You're going to have to fly to New York and go into Midtown and walk up to the Empire State Building and set your golf ball down. Go back across the street, look up at the Empire State Building, and imagine 5 more stacked on top of that. And that's Betelgeuse. And that's the Earth, and somewhere you're on it. You can fit 262 trillion Earths inside of Betelgeuse. And if the Earth were a golf ball, that would be enough golf balls to fill the Superdome. And we talked about this Superdome at the Super Bowl party. And I told you, I said, you need to do some research on the Superdome because I want you to know how big it is. And immediately Tamika, like, Googles that thing, and she says, the Superdome holds 76,000 people. That's how big the Superdome is. So if the Earth were a golf ball, that would be enough to fill the golf balls, to fill the Superdome 3,000 times. And we serve a breather of stars. When I heard Louis say that, I was blown away. Morgan says, man, my mind was blown. And I said, mine was too. Because, you know, up to that point in my life, I had been advising God, counseling with God, reviewing things with God, and bartering with God. And we've all had those chats with God, or at least I would think we have. You know, God, if you'll just do this one thing for me, I'll never do that other thing again. Or God, if you'll just let this happen in my life, I promise I'll be a good person. I'll be the best I can be. I'll be on your team, God. And we're talking about a God who just breathed out Betelgeuse. The third star, can we go a little bigger? The third star is called Musifi, and here it is in the night sky. See that big white star up in the left-hand corner? It's 3,000 light years away. Remember, Betelgeuse was just 427 light years away. But Musifi is 3,000 light years away. And I want you to know that when you look up in the night sky, it's not twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. It is twinkle, twinkle, massive star, intense star, ferocious star is what you are. And if the Earth were a golf ball, it would be the width of two Golden Gate bridges, end to end. Have you seen the Golden Gate Bridge? Well, apparently some of you are going to need to fly from New York to San Francisco, and you're going to have to go to the Golden Gate Bridge and put your golf ball down and then go back across the bay into Oakland and find a place high enough where you can see the full expanse of the Golden Gate Bridge and then imagine another Golden Gate Bridge and then find your golf ball. And somewhere, you're on it. We're still in the Milky Way galaxy, folks. And remember what we said, there are a billion galaxies in our universe. It's so big, you could fit 2.7 quadrillion Earths inside this one star. But it's not the biggest star we've found yet. The largest star is called Canis Majoris. And I'm pretty confident that must stand for the big dog star. Okay? If the Earth were a golf ball, Canis Majoris would be the height of Mount Everest. And Mount Everest is almost 6 miles above sea level. It's the highest point on our planet. And I just dare you to get up there, unzip the parka, and pull out your golf ball. You could fit 7 quadrillion Earths inside Canis Majoris. And now ask me how great is my God. He is the maker of the universe and the breather of stars. And that's enough Earths that if the Earth were a golf ball, it could cover the entire state of Texas with golf balls, 22 inches deep. Now, I don't know what happens to you when you learn these things, but a shrinking feeling comes over me. And it's not a bad shrinking feeling, it's a good shrinking feeling. Because sin has a way of shrinking God down in our minds and puffing us up in our own estimation. It's all about me. But at a glance into the universe that God made resizes everything in a heartbeat. And you realize that you're worshiping an unrivaled, uncontested God of all might and glory and awe. And there is none like him in all of creation. We don't worship some teeny tiny God. We're the teeny tiny ones. We're small and we're weak and we're fragile. And we're one of 6.5 billion people on this golf ball in this massive universe that God made. And what's more amazing to me than the size of any star is that even though you and I are but a vapor, tiny and frail, we are marked by majesty. And we have been created by the very God who breathes out the stars and put the universe into place. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, you and I. And Psalms 139:14 declares, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. We are a miracle. You are a miracle, and you are somebody special. Okay, we've talked about the big. Now let's talk about the little. Let's dial all the way back to the beginning. And I know you already know this. But you began as one cell from your father and one cell from your mother. And your mother's cell was carrying 23 chromosomes. And your father's cell was carrying 23 chromosomes. And he had half your DNA and she had half your DNA. And then that cell came together. And when that one cell, those two cells merged and that one cell met, as soon as those two cells met, you had a brand new DNA code. This is awesome stuff, is it not, Miss Biology teacher? And we know as soon as they met, they wrote out a 3 million character description of you written in the language of God. That 3 billion character DNA describes who God ordained you to be. And in that one simple cell. Scientists say that we can look at our DNA out of that one cell once they've merged. And if you stretched it out, it would be 6 feet long. One cell. 3 billion characters stretched out. And you know what? That's so amazing because if you were to read your DNA, reading one character per second, night and day, it would take you 96 years to read your DNA in that one cell. And they came together and they wrote out and they painted a picture that had never been written before in the history of humankind. And then that one cell, that one little cell set out to do the unthinkable, build a model from that DNA. And that DNA code in that one little cell. Here you are at 3 days old. There's 16 cells of you. Weren't those the good old days? No drama, no cell phones. This is a 16-cell embryo of you. And it's under great magnification because that 16-cell embryo is sitting on the tip of a safety pin. There's so much DNA in your body, and it takes, let me just back up here a second. It takes 75 trillion cells to make up your body. And by the way, at this moment, just right now, 50,000 of those cells died, and 50,000 new cells were made. And just as I said, that it happened again. And it happens every 3 seconds. JoBeth, I told you I would answer the question of why every time I ask you, how are you doing? And you say, I'm tired. That is why you are so tired. There's constantly 50,000 cells of your body dying and being replaced every 3 seconds of every day, day and night. There is so much DNA in your bodies right now, at this very moment, that if you were to stretch out all of that DNA end to end, there would be enough DNA to go to the moon and back 178,000 times. Tell me that ain't something, Brian, is it not? And God wrote that out for you. Here you are at 5 months. Aren't you cute? Miracles are taking place in the womb every second that you're in the womb. For example, there are a million optic nerves in the back of your brain, or in the forefront of your brain. There are a million optic nerves at the back of your eyeball. And they come together and they meet and match with their exact partner. 1 million optic nerves looking for one other million optic nerves. And when they meet and they match perfectly together, in that second, you have sight. Now, we've talked about this before. There's nothing more miraculous on this planet than your eye. But at this point, it didn't do you any good, because at this point, you have one single layer of skin over your eye. But somewhere along about the 6th month, a mysterious little cutting device shows up, and it cuts the perfect opening for your eye. And in that second, you have eyelids. How great is our God? And in that moment, you could see. And we're getting ready to close up here. We're like running way over. There's one last thing I want to show you, and it's a molecule inside your body, and it's called laminin. And the main job of laminin, it's a molecule that holds you together. It's a binding molecule that holds your skin to your flesh. It holds your flesh to your bone. It holds you together. And here's a diagram of laminin. Give me a second. Now, when I saw that, again, I was mind blown. Here's what it looks like under a microscope. God's thumbprint is all over you. Don't you ever doubt it. He knew you from the moment that you were that one cell from your mom and that one cell from your dad came together. And he had already written your story. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the God of the heavens is the one who fashions you together, who holds you together. He knows your name, and he knows every single thing there is to know about you, and he has made you a promise. For those who trust in him, he will literally hold them in his hand and carry them all the days of their lives. No matter how bad the circumstances, guys, no matter how dark the night or how low the low, if you follow him, he will be with you and you will never be alone again. And he promises you everlasting life. Now, I don't know about you, but I want that. And in addition to these things, he also gave you something else. He gave you the ability to choose. You can either choose him or not choose him. Or you can seek him, or you can stray away from him. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, creator of the universe, breather of the stars, and by whose power we are created, and by whose love we are redeemed, send us out with confidence today, Lord, that you are able to hold on to us and hold us together so that no matter what circumstances come our way, we know that we are not alone and that you are with us. Be with us, beside us, help us, and guide us in your service. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.